Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it is a Friday. We are live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. 1 hour from now, a surefire Hall of Fame lock, Drew Brees of the Saints, a broadcaster soon, will be joining us. 1 hour from now, Alex Curry sitting in for Joy Taylor again today. Drew's an all-timer. Great to see you. How are things?
Oh, things are great. It's Friday. I'm feeling bright. I'm feeling happy. Hoping to spark some joy today.
Yeah. It's about nice 65 degrees in Los Angeles. A little overcast. Nice little
day.
Chill in the air today. Speaking of chill, they're chilling big in Cleveland. I just saw this story. The Browns have picked up Baker Mayfield's fifth-year option. Cleveland.com. That is where you go for your Cleveland Browns sourcing. And they are, it's Mardi Gras in Cleveland. And I just want to say, hold on, it's a pendant. This is dating still. This is not marriage, it's dating still. Let me give you a list of other quarterbacks who have had their fifth-year option picked up. And I know what you're saying. Colin, you're being a jerk. Blake Bortles, RG3. Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston. It's a lot like Blake Bortles, by the way, and I'll get to that in a second. What this is Cleveland saying, listen, you're good enough. You're still young. We're going to watch you for a few years, but we're just too good right now to blow it up at quarterback and start over again, and next year's a lousy quarterback class. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in the same class as Baker, they're talking contract extensions. In Patrick Mahomes' third offseason, they made him a 12-year, $500 million deal. Baker got his fifth-year option picked up. So Mahomes had started just 31 games, and Kansas City said, we're going to make you the richest player in league history. Baker had started 45 games, and they're saying, we like you. Not in love yet. We like you. We want to see more. So the way I would put it, Mahomes, through 31 games, got a house, couple of cars, a vacation home, a wedding, a baby, and part of the Kansas City Royals. Baker Mayfield got a necklace. It is not a franchise tag. That's big money. That's like $37 million. It's not a long contract you're tied to for years and years. We play a game on this show called Buy, Sell, or Hold. This is a hold. Not sure yet. See things that are promising. But there's two reasons why Cleveland did this and should have done this. This is a Super Bowl roster. This is a top five roster in the NFL. I'd say three, some say five or six. This is a real roster. This is what Jacksonville did with Blake Bortles. Remember that Jacksonville team that was loaded? And they didn't love Blake Bortles, but he was good enough to win a playoff game. He was good enough to win a division. And so you're like, well, do we want to blow it up? Let's just run it out and see how far we can go. And in the end, Blake Bortles, you know, he won playoff games. Remember that Patriot game? They had him dead to rights, but he couldn't make the play. And my guess is that's kind of Baker. He'll get you close. This is a great roster. But remember, the NFL quarterback draft class next year is really weak. And so the sense is we got a Super Bowl roster. We're not really sure. We're not going to go Carson Wentz yet. We're not going Mahomes yet. We're not going to talk extension yet. It is a hold, and that's exactly what you should do. If you look at the quarterback class next year, and you look at what Baker's done, and you look at what he's surrounded by, they're still moving pieces in Cleveland. They just got rid of Sheldon Richardson. They just moved in Jadeveon Clowney. My guess is by the trading deadline, they're going to move OBJ and shore up that linebacking core. So I like the move. But again, RG3 got a 50-year option picked up. So did Jameis. So did Bortles. So did Marcus Mariota. It just means we don't feel like starting over at quarterback. Because as you all know, even Andrew Luck in year one, even Trevor Lawrence in year one, Elway, Eli, Peyton, Brady year one, you're not a Super Bowl quarterback. Trevor Lawrence will not be a Super Bowl quarterback. This is the right move by Cleveland. It's not a parade, but it's the right move. All right, I saw this. Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout was talking about Mac Jones, Bama's quarterback. Said the things you hear about Mac Jones are next level. One area scout who wasn't in the interview said his GM thinks Mac Jones is the smartest quarterback they've ever interviewed. That's, woo, wow. 4-point GPA in college, graduated after 3 years, so he's pretty bright. Should be noted the last draft that had five quarterbacks to be drafted in the first round was that one in 2018. Does everybody remember who was the smartest quarterback? Josh Rosen. And like Mac Jones, there were questions about sort of his athletic ability and his ceiling. Josh Rosen didn't work out. I don't need a neurosurgeon to be a quarterback. What I need is a baller, a gamer, physically can last, committed, passionate, and can get along with dudes. Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard and got a 48 on his Wonderlic, highest for a quarterback ever. On the field, though, he lacks discipline, he's old school, and makes really bad decisions. Jared Goff, believe it or not, I mean, he went to Cal. He had a higher Wonderlic than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And Jared Goff, the reason the Rams got rid of him wasn't because he wasn't smart enough. The reason was is he makes bad decisions and turns the ball over too much. The highest interception percentage in the last decade, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jay Cutler. One went to Harvard and one went to the Harvard of the South, Vanderbilt. I think sometimes we forget smart means a lot of things. IQ, EQ. I've worked in the media for 30 years. I've worked with a lot of really, really bright people. And almost as a rule, the smartest people have the lowest EQ. They're harder to work with. They can be condescending. They know they're smart. They want to make you know they're smart. The bottom line, a phrase I've always used whenever I talk to anybody getting in this business, are you smart enough? Joe Montana was smart enough. Tom Brady is smart enough. I don't know Nick Foles, Eli Manning, they're smart enough. People say Peyton Manning's a genius. I don't know. Eli's pretty smart. He feels smart enough. That's the key. And what you also do, smart people tend to fall for smart people. That's why you ever seen where you have like really smart people and they fall for scams. And you're like, how? How do people fall for that? And then you find the scammer is actually pretty bright. Kyle Shanahan's really bright. Mac Jones, 3 years in college, 4.0 graduated, is really bright. Right now, nobody's playing games. What you're doing for teams is talking, going to the whiteboard, drawing up plays. Mac Jones is very, very attractive to very, very smart people. And since you're not playing now and you're just doing talking and writing up plays and, well, that's a time for a smart guy to move up the board. Anybody notice that Mac Jones, since the games have stopped, has flown up the draft board? And he's flown up the draft board. What are the two teams? New England and San Francisco are talking about him. Who's the smartest coach in the league? Belichick. Who's probably the smartest young coach in the league? Shanahan. Many thought it was McVay a couple years ago, but Shanahan has owned him. Smart people are attracted to other smart people. But smart enough is overwhelmingly the key in most businesses. Smart enough is not as condescending. It doesn't create the resentment sometimes in the room. I think Mac Jones could be really, really, really good. But it is interesting who's attracted to Mac Jones the most. And it looks to be Belichick and Kyle Shanahan. Really smart cats who are attracted to Mac Jones while he doesn't play and can talk. All right. Not that I don't like him. Not saying that. Smart is a trait. Just like big arm is a trait. Just a trait. All right. So, you know, we've said this. Sometimes people, they overthink the room with some of the scouting stuff. And, I mean, listen, you got a lot of time. I mean, if the draft would have been held 3 months ago, like Justin Fields would be number two, right? Then you start talking and thinking and thinking and overthinking. And a classic quarterback coach had a comment yesterday that I just shake my head at. on Trevor Lawrence. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Scouts work really hard. They're in their car 200 days a year. They don't make a lot of money. I think they want to be heard. You ever go to a doctor? I noticed this a couple of times when I went to a doctor during like the pandemic and all these Zoom meetings, and I would have this very, you know, I would go to the doctor and he just wanted to talk. I felt bad for him. He was so over Zoom meetings. They just wanted to talk to somebody. And I think sometimes scouts want to talk, and assistant coaches, you know, they never get asked questions. It's always the star quarterback and the head coach. So a lot of these assistant coaches, when they get asked questions, they just want to talk. They want to talk to somebody. They want to be heard. Sometimes this stuff before the draft is just overwrought. So Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, interviewed a bunch of scouts and executives, and an AFC quarterback coach said, listen, if I'm comparing Trevor Lawrence to last year, Joe Burrow has picked over Trevor Lawrence 100 out of 100 times. Oh, good hell. Trevor Lawrence is bigger. He's got a better arm. He's more prodigy than prospect. Burrow, we didn't know who he was after an average junior year after transferring. Then he popped his senior year with the greatest collection of college talent on one football team ever. The other thing about Trevor Lawrence that's really impressive to me, and you see this a lot with the all-time greats, Trevor's been better longer. We knew about Bryce Harper at 16. We knew about Trevor at 17. We knew about Kobe at 18. We knew about Kevin Garnett at 17. Most of your prodigies are not late developers. They're really not. Joe Burrow's a late developer. We knew about Elway in high school, Trevor Lawrence in high school, Andrew Luck as a freshman at Stanford. Trevor's 21 years old. He has been in the spotlight. This is really attractive to me. He's been in the spotlight three and a half years. I saw him in high school. Not a stumble. That's very Andrew Luck. It's very LeBron James. Johnny Manziel was in the spotlight for 6 months, and he fell apart. Jameis Winston was in the spotlight for a year and a half at Florida State. He couldn't handle it. Baker Mayfield was a hot shot for about a year at Oklahoma. Made a series of gaffes. Part of being an all-time great, can you handle the magnifying glass? Because you're going to have articles, you're going to get more coverage, you're going to get more scrutiny. And I find this true in America. We're very good. We always value people who rise to the top. It's a great story. But we always undervalue how hard it is to stay at the top and maintain a clean resume. It's hard. The most impressive thing about Derek Jeter to me is not his 305 lifetime average. 20 years in New York as a single guy. He never got in trouble. Eli Manning, 15 years in New York City, never stumbled. With the New York media, it's vicious. It's everywhere. It's harsh. Like, it's not just rising to the top. I've worked with people my whole career who get great jobs. Few keep them. It's hard to maintain it. The scrutiny, the magnifying glass. Baker Mayfield came in, got a bunch of commercials, and did a lot of idiotic things for the next year and a half. Cleveland now is not giving him an extension. And my reason is they still want to see him now off success. They know he was good after he had a bad year. How is he going to be off success? Because the last time he got drafted off success, he ran and did 15 commercials. You know, without doing anything. He had more commercials than wins. So Cleveland's now giving him a fifth-year option pickup, but they want to see, all right, now you're a playoff guy. Can you handle it? I mean, he admitted he didn't come in great shape off his last success. He came in lumpy, doing commercials all offseason. So what I like about this kid beyond his talent is he's been in the spotlight. He's been the anointed number one for 3 years. No stumbles. No stumbles for Bryce Harper. No stumbles for LeBron. No stumbles for Luck. This is not a late bloomer. This kid has been, we've been staring at him. He's been on magazine covers for 3 years. Been a great citizen. Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Jets are hoping to get their next franchise quarterback with the second pick in the draft, and all signs point to Zach Wilson being their choice. And new head coach Robert Saleh does not have any concerns about starting a rookie next season.
I don't think there's risk. You know, it still comes down to having a good football team and building a good roster around around everybody. I mean, there's players here that are talented. There's rookies that are going to be coming in that are talented. And The expectation is that they're one of 53 when it's all said and done, and they've all got to perform their best, and it's our job to get them to put them in the best position to be successful. And that's not just the quarterback, but every single player that takes the field.
Well, it sounds great, but the problem is he's entering a division with maybe three of the top four defensive coaches in the NFL, Belichick, Sean McDermott, and Brian Flores. So a lot of what Robert Saleh is saying, you can't control. This is the worst division for a young quarterback to come into. Like, Justin Herbert goes to the AFC West.
Yeah.
But last year, Denver's defense was awful. The Raiders' defense is awful. So you can make some hay. You can build some confidence. Zach Wilson may be really talented. Belichick, in the last 15 years, doesn't lose to young quarterbacks. That's 0-2. Flores appears to be an unbelievable defensive coach. McDermott, maybe the best young defensive coach. So a lot of this stuff sounds good. This is whoever goes to the Jets and has to start immediately, you will get six brutal games in division, the defenses you will face.
Well, it's a huge risk. You don't have NFL experience. These guys are bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. You haven't seen anything before. Of course, you hope, and there is a good chance that it's going to turn out well, but as you said, you're not going to be a Super Bowl quarterback year one.
Yeah.
Takes experience.
Yep.
All right. Moving on, the NFL passed a new rule this year that gives certain position players a large pool of jersey numbers to choose from. And Tom Brady clearly is not a fan of this move. Following the news, he posted to Instagram, "Good luck trying to block the right people now. Going to make for a lot of bad football." And I'm usually on Tom's side for most things.
Yeah.
But it's just a number. How much are you staring at a jersey number in the heat of a moment when guys are running at you?
Well, it's funny because Brady posted a couple of things and hated it.
Oh, yeah.
Tom is very much a creature of habit. Mm-hmm. And so for Tom, you know, he sees numbers. He doesn't have to think about it. Like, yeah. He sees that number and knows Mike linebacker, strong safety. So now you've got to recalibrate things. If a guy number one comes up to the line and he has to think, and, you know, by the way, safeties and linebackers, a big safety and a small linebacker. So he's thinking, is that a safety in the box? Is it a linebacker? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Tom is very particular in his preparation and his details. And this is just throwing a wrench for a couple of months into it.
I mean, he's also made his number his brand. So to him, some people are incredibly emotionally attached their numbers. TB12. So this is a whole other can of worms that you're opening up to this. So you're going to be fine, Tom. You're going to be just fine. All right. Well, Anthony Davis returned to the Lakers last night after missing the team's last 30 games. He played nearly 17 minutes, all in the first half, but scored only 4 points on 2 of 10 shooting. He also had 4 rebounds, an assist, a steal, and a block in the Lakers' 115-110 loss to the Mavs. And when asked about the injury after the game, AD said he didn't think about it one time. Now, he didn't look great, but this is what's to be expected when you miss over 2 months. It's going to take time to get back into game shape. And I think the most important thing to take away from this game for AD is that he felt good throughout the whole game and he felt good after it.
I got to tell you something. When he's on the floor with Andre Drummond, they're big.
Yeah, they're big.
Lakers are a big physical team. And, you know, when I watched them last night, I'm just kind of watching. I keep thinking of, like, Brooklyn. How would they match up with tiny Kyrie? Uh-huh. Harden's not a very good defender. KD is brittle. You get LeBron, Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis. Now, Trez wouldn't be on the floor, but I would say KCP is long. Kuzma's long. Mm-hmm. This potentially is a really physical, great defensive team.
Dangerous team.
Yeah, you're gonna have to really earn your points when LeBron and AD are at full strength.
I can't wait.
Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Drew Brees is going to join us at the top of the hour. It's great to have him. It's, by the way, you know, with Brady, I know we always think, like, as you age, if you don't embrace new stuff, you're called an old head and you get made fun of. And I like most new stuff. But before the end of the hour, sports is doing a lot of changing. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I don't like the defensive shifts in baseball. It just takes runners off the base. I like activity. I like base runners. That gives me more steals. It gives me more plays at the plate. It gives me more first to third. I don't like the defensive shift. In hockey and basketball and in soccer, there are areas you can't be. Hockey, you can't stand in the crease. Basketball, you can't stand in the lane. I do not like the baseball defensive shift. We're having fewer and fewer hits every year in baseball. That means fewer base runners. So I am for new stuff. But there are some new things in sports. The defensive shift in baseball, I think, hurts the sport. I don't want to see Bryce Harper hitting a rope to right center and a guy standing out there, a second baseman 19 feet behind the bag, catches it. I want to see him standing at second base.
But what are you going to do when you have those advanced analytics? Because that's kind of why it's
moved
on.
Oh, that's why they're doing all of it.
It's all the analytics.
I don't think analytics make for better sports. I said this. Yeah. In the NBA, it's three-point shot or nothing, and I think it gets repetitive. In baseball, defensive shifts have taken away base runners. I don't think that's good for the sport. I always tell the story. I took my son to a baseball game, Padres-Mets, a few years ago.
Yeah.
And he was young at the time. He was like 9 or 10. And he's having ice cream and a baseball helmet, you know, classic stuff.
Yep.
And we were there, and the Padres didn't have a lot of good sticks, and the Mets had maybe, they weren't a great hitting team either. And my son turns to me after an hour and a half, it's a 1-0 game. He goes, Dad, I really appreciate you bringing me here, but not a lot goes on in baseball. And I remember thinking, that's a raw opinion from a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, baseball needs more base runners.
They're losing the younger generation,
yes,
too.
And basketball needs something beyond three-pointers. So I don't love all the new stuff. Brady can complain about the new numbers, and we all mock it. But there's been some new stuff introduced that I don't love all of it. I like most of it. All right, Chris Sims, NFL analyst, 8 years in the NFL, joins us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. By the way, you're a former Patriot coaching assistant back in 2012. You know, I was making the argument the two teams that appear to love Mac Jones are San Francisco and New England. Why? Because they have, you know, brilliant head coaches. And since the season ends, nobody plays now. And this is the time that smart guys, Trey Lance and Mac Jones, elevate on the whiteboard. And that Mac is moving up the whiteboard because smart people are impressed with other smart people. It's like Mac Jones has literally changed as a prospect. Now, you've been on the Mac Jones thing from day one. Are you worried a little that, you know, when I hear smart, that was Josh Rosen. That was Jay Cutler. That's, you know, Chris, sometimes smart, your dad's famous for saying, if you were smarter than Bill Parcells, just don't let him know that you are. Do you ever worry that sometimes super smart guys too often let you know how smart they are?
Well, sure. You can be too smart at times and be too over analytical, right? At the position, you know, instead of just playing football, you hear that phrase, right? It's still a read and react, you know, position on the football field. Yeah, you're trying to put yourself pre-snap in the best position to successfully execute that play. But when it comes down to it, you want to be able to drop back and react. Oh, wait, the guy fell down. All right, I see that. I got to throw it. I wasn't expecting this coverage here, but now I'm going to react, you know, and not be overthinking situations or anything like that. But I think, like, ultimately here with Mac Jones, he's got a great blend of that, being really smart and all of that, you know, but yet on the field, able, like you're showing on these highlights here, to move in the pocket, always make the appropriate throw. You know, Colin, where, you know, again, I think we have a lot of unqualified people making qualified statements a little bit before the draft process even starts to begin. And now, yeah, we got a lot of big time decision makers evaluating these guys. People like the Patriots, the 49ers, liking Mac Jones. Yes, they like a guy like that. They know their offense is special. They know he plays the position at an elite level. And that's where I think people are missing out on Mac Jones, Colin. Like, yeah, there's not one thing that you might look at physically to go, oh, that's really special or elite, but it's a lot of really, really good that adds up to elite play on the field. He's the most accurate passer in the draft. He's the best decision maker in the draft, okay? And then I would say in the pocket, him and Zach Wilson are the best at manipulating the pocket in the draft. And then I think when you come away with all of that stuff, you look at it and go, all right. And then the arm is good, and his ability to read and react is as good as anybody I've seen since Joe Burrow, since I've been on this side of the business. And that's where it's special and why he's being considered at the number 3 pick. Ultimately, I think he's being viewed by a lot of people in the league a little bit like the guy that's going to be coming on your show in a little bit. He's a Drew Brees. He's a Matt Ryan type. And that's worked out pretty well for those organizations. And I think, you know, if Shanahan is thinking of taking him at number three, and that's who I think he would take, that he's probably looking at it like, wait, I had two cracks with Matt Ryan, and that second year was special, and we were up 28-3 in the Super Bowl. And I think if you give me more than two cracks with Mac Jones, I think he probably looks at it like I can win a Super Bowl with this guy for sure.
So, I mean, we just look at the top four, five, or six quarterbacks taken, one's going to be a bust. That's just the history of the league. And a lot of it is it's not necessarily the player. It's often, if you look at the last 30 quarterbacks taken, it's where they land. And I look at Zach Wilson. Sure. Zach Wilson's going to have to face Belichick twice a year, Sean McDermott twice a year, Brian Flores twice a year. Whereas the NFC West is mostly offensive guys, and Justin Herbert can go in a division where the Raiders' defense stinks, and Denver's was bad last year, and Kansas City's more about offense than defense. Zach Wilson may be facing three of the top four defensive coaches six times a year with a bad O-line and ownership I don't trust. There does feel like to me with Zach, this could be the kid that ends up running for his life 2 years in. We're like, it looks a lot like Darnold. Do you see some of that potentially?
Well, I mean, I think your point about, you know, quarterbacks that are drafted in the first round who fail and do that, you're right. It's about the positioning. And it is about the positioning of like where they fall. But then I think the other thing you can add on to that to kind of what you're saying is the ones that have really failed for the most part too. Let's just say Sam Darnold, right, didn't live up to the expectations, just to use as an example. You know, the organization prior to the one that's there did just an absolutely crappy job of ever supporting him to justify the number three pick. You know, that's where it really starts. You know, if you're going to pick a quarterback in the top 10, you know, one of the things you got to do for your own benefit, if you want to keep your job as a GM or a head coach, is, wait, I better make this guy look good. We've invested a lot, a quarterback, a franchise guy in that top 10 pick. You know, AKA, like, look at Patrick Mahomes. He got drafted by a team that had a ton of talent. He could hit the ground running. We never had to question anything about it. And he really got to just, you know, show all the tools he had available as the talented quarterback he is. So it's on them now to get the right supporting cast. I love Zach Wilson. He's the number one quarterback in the draft for me. And really, where I'm excited about it for the Jets, a guy like Mike LaFleur, who's, of course, coming from Shanahan, his brother's Matt LaFleur up in Green Bay, he's got to be looking at Zach Wilson a little bit and going, man, there's some Aaron Rodgers here. And my brother's done okay with Aaron Rodgers up there in Green Bay the last 2 years, I would say, in that offense. And that's what would excite me if I'm a Jets fan.
So I want to give everybody, Chris, your quarterback rankings. You have Zach Wilson 1, Trevor Lawrence 2, Mac Jones 3, Kellen Mond. And people will initially go, come on, but let's Russell Wilson 3rd round, Dak 4th. Somebody's going to play well. Justin Fields 5, Trey Lance 6. I know Trey Lance a little, really bright kid. The thing that jumps out is Trevor Lawrence 2. And people do like Zach Wilson, but one of the things I like about Trevor Lawrence, he's been in the spotlight 3 years. He can handle it. He's a big frame. He's taken a lot of hits. The competition's been unbelievable he's faced. So there's got to be something about Trevor that worries you a little. What is it?
Yeah, right. I mean, listen, you said it right. It's not an indictment on Trevor Lawrence. He's a special football player. He's definitely worthy of the number one pick. You know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm, you know, poo-pooing the guy here. You know, it is. It's a big athlete, natural thrower, you know, like you said, clutch, calm, you know, can make plays with his feet for a bigger guy like that. That's pretty remarkable that way. I think the thing that jumped out to me, you know, evaluating him that I didn't realize watching him on TV through the years, there's some inconsistencies in his throwing the football. Now, sometimes when you watch a game on TV, you don't realize that, you know, hey, he's missed three or four of what should have been slam dunk throws because the next play is a screenplay to Amari Rodgers for 30 yards. Or, you know, there goes a Travis Etienne draw up the middle for 25 yards. Or he hits another big pass down the field. So it gets wiped, you know, kind of under the rug a little bit in your mind and forget that. But that's the one thing that popped up to me is just as I evaluated him, I just went, ooh, there's more inconsistency in his throwing than I realized watching him on TV over the last few years. He can clean it up. There's no doubt about that. Like I said, he's natural, But sometimes he can be a little long in the pocket with his motion, his footwork. His footwork can just be a little bit all over the place sometimes, so where he misses throws where you're like, damn, you're too good to miss that 5 yard out, like to that capacity there. And that's where I just gave Zach Wilson the advantage a little bit. Wilson's throwing to me is superstar elite. It's Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes. Not to say Trevor Lawrence can't be a superstar. I think he will be too, but I just was a little more excited about what I saw from Wilson.
All right. I've yet to talk about Kellen Mond. I watched him a few times in college, and we have a history in this league. Brady, Montana, Dak, Russell, Wilson, a lot of guys flourish drafted in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. Kellen Mond, what do you see? Why do you like him? You have him over Justin Fields and Trey Lance.
I know. And, you know, listen, if I had to do my Trey Lance, Justin Fields was very close. I gave Fields the advantage just because he had played more. But really, there's things about Trey Lance. I think if I could maybe tweak my rankings, I might switch that. But I love Kellen Mond. And yeah, I'm in the minority, and I don't really understand why he doesn't get more play as far as in the first round conversation. He's certainly a lot better than some other quarterbacks I can name that have been drafted in the first round the last few years. I think the first thing I would just say, he's been playing NFL football the last few years. And what I mean by that, he's been in the pocket with pressure around him and people not wide open. And he's had to throw the ball into more tight windows maybe than any other quarterback that we're talking about here in the top six. So he's special that way as far as no space, quick release, explosive arm, throws perfect spirals, incredible accuracy, and he's a good athlete too. And really what I looked at and why I think I like him more than Trey Lance or Justin Fields, his only issue is I wish he would just play backyard football a little bit more. He's such a good athlete, scramble, make some of those Rodgers, Mahomes type plays and all of that. That was really the only negative I came away with. And I also know Jimbo Fisher's a stickler for being in the pocket and doing those type of things. So when I looked at it, I just went, man, for me, Kellen Mond's one problem is much easier to fix than Justin Fields or the Trey Lance problems I have. And yeah, I'm in the minority, but I'm a Kellen Mond fan for sure.
Yeah, no, listen, you watch the video. He's got a super quick release. He's got the size. Chris Sims, NFL analyst. It's great seeing you. Here's his list. Zach and Trevor, Mac Jones, Kellen Mond. I like just the fact that you're willing to be different. You know what? You're willing to get heat. I like that.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you're willing to get heat too. So we're kind of in the same boat there. But yes, I don't do this to get heat or get clicks. That pisses me off sometimes. Listen, I had Kyler Murray and Joe Burrow as number one, you know, in the draft. But yeah, last year I got a lot of crap for having Herbert over Tua, or the fact that I love Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Mahomes when he was coming out in the draft. So we'll see. I've been wrong before. I'll admit it if I am wrong, but I hope I'm right. That's for sure.
Good seeing you, Chris. Continued success. Say hi to your dad.
I will. Be good, buddy. See ya.
All right, Chris Sims. No, he did like Justin Herbert. Kellen Mond, you watch his video. I saw him play a couple times. He's an athlete. I mean, a lot of this stuff is if Kellen Mond goes second round, and let's say he ends up, you know, somebody that would take a quarterback where he could grow slowly. Let me think. Who's Matt Ryan? Maybe Atlanta decides we're not going to take a quarterback first round. We're going to take a quarterback second round, and they take Kellen Mond. You know, they take Kyle Pitts with a 4 pick, and then they take Kellen Mond. Well, he can sit for 2 years behind Matt Ryan and Arthur Smith. So, I mean, you know, it's funny about this. Where you land is so crucial for young players. You know, it's actually crucial for veteran free agent players.
It can work in their favor.
33% of free agents work. That means guys who are succeeding in the league succeeding get big contracts. 60% of the time go and fail because the system doesn't work. So what do you think it's like for guys who go from college to a system? That's why this draft, there's no science behind it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are teams in the NFL that have the head coach right, but they can't find the quarterback. Minnesota to me. I think Zimmer's a Super Bowl winning coach. I really do. I don't think you can win it with Kirk Cousins. That's not that he's bad. There are other teams that have the quarterback right, and you don't know if the coach is right. But Denver's in the no man's land where they're not sure if they have the right coach or the right quarterback. George Patton is their new GM. I've been told from my sources he's a bright, bright guy. And he said, listen, we got Drew Locke. Here's where we're going with quarterback.
I don't know about week one. We're really high on Drew. I like seeing Drew here every morning when I come in. He's working hard. He's trending in the right direction. As you know, he has a lot of talent. I think he's becoming a better pro. But we're going to still look at the quarterback position. You know, I've said since I got here, we want to bring in competition, and that's the goal. And we plan on doing that.
Listen, there's about seven teams in the league where I think the head coach and the quarterback, you got the right people. They're good enough to get to a Super Bowl. Win it, who knows? But Kansas City, Green Bay, Buffalo, Seattle, Tampa, Baltimore, San Francisco. Now, we don't know the future of Jimmy Garoppolo, but 2 years ago, Kyle and Jimmy got there, so I'm going to include them. I think there's another six or seven teams, maybe eight, that I like the coach. I think the coach is right. I'm not sure if the quarterback is right. Colts. I don't know what Carson Wentz is. I got to watch. Steelers. Tomlin's gotten to Super Bowls. Big Ben is no longer in his prime. I think Tomlin is still as good as he had ever been. Rams. We know that McVay is great. I don't know if Stafford. Big games every week, that division, I want to watch. I think he's good enough. Remember, they're paying him a lot. When Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl, he was making nothing. So Stafford comes in with a big salary that limits your offensive line. Saints, Tennessee, Washington, Miami, New England. I think the coach is right. I don't know if the quarterback is. Then there's about three teams where I think the quarterback's good enough to get to a Super Bowl. The Chargers, Arizona, and Atlanta. One, Matt Ryan already has. I don't know if the head coach is good enough. We'll see. Cliff Kingsbury, I've got my doubts. Atlanta, rookie head coach. Chargers, rookie head coach. But I think the quarterback, you know, I know a lot of you bang on Matt Ryan. I have. But he got to a Super Bowl, won an MVP. Right coach, he's good. Denver's kind of in that no man's land, which is Vic Fangio. Well, he's supposed to be a defensive guy, but the defense was terrible last year. And Drew Locke, I don't buy. So you start getting into a category where you're in the same category as the Eagles and the Jets. Yeah. Now, you may be better than them and have more talent than them, but that's the category now you're in. Nobody knows if you've got the quarterback or coach. And what does that tell me? You have to draft a quarterback. You have to draft a quarterback. And now, I don't believe Denver's going to move up in the draft because I trust what I've read so far from various sources is that Denver holds Trey Lance and Justin Fields in the same regard. They like them both. They think they're super athletic but need time to grow. So if you like them both, even if Atlanta takes one, the three teams after Atlanta don't appear to be teams taking quarterbacks. Cincinnati's not taking a quarterback. Miami's not taking a quarterback. Detroit can pretend they're going to take a quarterback, but it would be stupid. Now, Detroit can be stupid, but Jared Goff is super expensive for 2 years, and you have needs everywhere. Goff needs protection, rebuild the O-line. It needs a lot of work. So for me, Denver can sit there, and Denver, by the way, may look at Kellen Mond and have him just below Trey Lance and think, we'll get him in the next round because Kellen Mond's going to be somewhere taking top eight or nine picks in the second round. The team that I think is going to move up is New England. Unlike Denver, they've got multiple teams in front of them. It's a long way back at 15. I think New England moves up, and my guess is they trade with Detroit. There are New England-Detroit ties in the front office, or Carolina. I do know that Matt Rhule, Belichick, smart guys, there's something there. So I think New England's moving up. I don't think Denver is. But they are really in a no man's land. They may be better than the Jets in Philadelphia. But if you don't know today if your coach is the best, I mean, if you look in that division, Vic Fangio's not Andy Reid. And to this point in his career, he's not John Gruden. So we don't know what Staley is. But you're kind of in a spot there. You got to make a move. First or second round, Denver's got to make a move in a quarterback. All right, Drew Brees is coming up next. Haven't talked to Drew in a while. We knew he was going to retire. He did. Smartly, he's got his broadcasting career. Olympics, college football, some NFL. He's going to be doing it with NBC. A little jealous, I'm not going to lie. He's great.